Merry Christmas to everybody. Monday, we had our Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit, and all the kids came, and we have, oh, as you can see, those are presents. And that was before we left here.
All right, well, Christ Haven sent me a letter, and they said, Christ Haven for Children is dedicated to providing a warm and loving home to displaced children and teens in our community. When you choose to support our families, you provide stability for our kids by meeting their needs of food, clothing, shelter, and education. Far beyond providing for their needs, you provide an opportunity to feel unconditionally loved and part of a family unit, a feeling that is new to many of our children. So when you partner with Christ Haven, you contribute directly to the transformation of lives. So once again, thank you for your generosity. I wanted to tell you where we are so far. I did go out. Okay, so Monday night, we did Christ Haven for Children. I don't know what I did Tuesday. Wednesday, I did Wings. Oh, yeah. We went down. We'd gone last Sunday. We went down to the Dallas Children's Charity, and they gave us 642 gifts. And so we came out here on Tuesday and sorted them all, and then we delivered to Grace. We delivered to Justin Community Clothes Closet, and we delivered to Salvation Army. And then so Wednesday I went to the Wings of Hope. They call me the Santa Nazi because I stand at the door and I make sure, that's what they call me, and I make sure they either give me money, gift cards, or gifts, toys, to get in. Because there were 235 people that came to this private gathering. Wings of Hope was started by some American Airlines pilots about 20 years ago, and it just grown from there. So the stage was completely filled with gifts. Christy was singing, and I was stopping people, and they raised about $1,950 worth of gift cards and cash, and then they had just gifts everywhere. So they were blessing Grace and Lena Pope home, for unwed mothers. All right, so far where we're at, and if you'd like to continue to give, I would appreciate it. Just mark your giving for Children at Christmas. So far we have $154,685. Praise the Lord. And that is much higher than last year. I think we had 117.6 or 112.7. 112.7, I think is what it was. Anyway, we have given so far, and this is amazing to me, we've never done this before, 11,938 children and elderly and 228 families. I know. We gave directly to Grace. We gave them $40,402 worth of gifts. To Justin Community Closet, and they got more because they're having a special thing today. They actually had their Christmas last Sunday, but they've never had new toys until we gave them new toys 3 years ago, and so they were waiting on our toys, and because we didn't get them till last Sunday, they had a special day today, and they have 357 children signed up for toys today. Well, we took them 350 toys, and then Scott took them during the week, I think 7 cozy pals, a little blanket with a little animal, and I'd already bought a few more. So Justin Community Closet ended up with 51,433, and then the Salvation Army, I went out and finished their shopping this week, and in the middle, I think it was Thursday and Friday, and we delivered to them because they had their Christmas yesterday on Saturday, and we delivered $13,274 worth of goods to them. And it was amazing because they had they have these bags, big bags, white bags, big room, big as a big gymnasium, and every few feet they had these bags. They had all these bags. Well, Sarah was with me, and we went to Five Below, and we bought makeup and cologne, and also they had some athletic looking shirts, and they had these little zipper fleece shirts, and I bought all that they had of that, and there was maybe 15 of them. When we get there to deliver that, the woman that's Sergeant Ruby and I are talking, and this other woman comes up and says, I've got to have 3 more girls, 10 to 12, 3 more girls. I've got to have them. We don't have them. And they had these big round tables full of coats, and the coats were way up here, full of coats in different sizes for kids. And I said, well, you know, I've got some fleece zip-up things. And I said, if you get the smalls, and I go start looking through all of them, we had 3 smalls so that she could finish the bags to what she was doing. I know. So it was a God thing. It was God having me show up at the exact time to finish what they were doing, to get ready for what they were doing. I did send I haven't ever done this before. I've only sent one family one time to Grace, and it was a former attendee at Christ Haven, and they were having problems. She's married then, and she went to Grace. And this year, Lori at Grace told me, she said, if you need to send anybody to me, send them here. Well, I had somebody, so I sent this person to Grace, and then I sent them also to Salvation Army. And like at Salvation Army, she gave them four brand new presents for each child, four children, and new winter coats. I mean, it's just, God's good. He's just good. And I want to thank everybody and let y'all know, Grace has brought four banana puddings. So if you'd like to buy a banana pudding and put it in the offering for the kids. Also, I want to recognize Martin and Chris, that he is a master jeweler at the World Trade Center, and he went around and gathered over $22,000 worth of stuff that he brought to us, which we distributed mainly between Justin Community Closet and between Grace. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to thank all y'all. And I want to say thank you for making Jesus' birthday really special this year for all of us that were involved in this benefit. And I just, you know, it overwhelms me that he raises so much money. But he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. So anyway, thank y'all. We love y'all. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow.
I know. A lot of stuff.
Isn't that something? To think that the first year when I made that statement, the first year she raised, what,
$16,000.
15 years later, it's $150,000. Wow, $154,685. Down to the penny. She's got it down to the penny. All of this happens because of one thing, the Savior. It was cold last night. And Cheryl came to my office and said, you know, you better go get some salt. We might need some before this is over. If it happens to rain at this temperature, the ramp's going to be slick. I asked Scott. I said, Scott, will you go with me and let's see if we can find some salt? He said, sure. So we drive over to the place and we pull into the O'Reilly's. And he said, you know, they might have salt. And I said, they might have. So we pulled in there and they had two bags. And I thought, well, that'd be just exactly what we need. We'll buy those. And lo and behold, while I'm in there, this man that's mad for Jesus starts talking to these boys. Do you know Jesus? Now, see, normal people don't do that. You got to be mad to talk to people about Jesus. Obviously, because I've been all over this world and hardly ever do I hear anybody that I'm with start talking to somebody about Jesus. Are you a Christian? Do you go to church? I mean, it takes a man that's mad in the spirit to do something like that. But he's wanting to know. He don't want these boys to die and go to hell. So he's wanting to know, are you a Christian? One of them said, yes, I am. He said, you go to church? Yes. He says, where? So he told him. Looked over to the other boy and said, how about you, son? You go to church? Are you a Christian? No. So he starts talking to him about Jesus. Starts telling him all about what's going on in this earth. You know, and how that if you die. He made a statement to him. Said, son, do you realize that? Do you know everybody dies? He said, oh, yeah, I know everybody dies. He said, you know, you could get killed before you get home tonight. You know that? Well, yes, sir, I know I could. He said, you know, would you want to go to hell? Would you want to spend eternity in a lake of fire with the devil? He says, no. He said, well, there's only one way out. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right there last night, we saw those two, that boy accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Only men that are mad at the devil for doing what he's doing. We'll talk to people. I mean, I love to be around men that are men. Amen. That are men that talk about Jesus. I mean, if you're going to talk about the pornography you watched last week, I'm in the wrong group. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't even want to be around men like that. I want to be around men that know who they are in Christ. Because if you want to see a miracle, you want to see a healing, you got to be around that kind of man. That's just like that little story Cheryl told you. Isn't it amazing that we had the bad storm and the rain was severe and everything, and the Paradise Cove got underwater and everything, and here we're meeting to try to get a little money together to help them out, give them a few $100s, and as this girl sits down there, I look over and see that big thing on her nose. Cancer. I said, man, that thing looks awful. What are you going to do about that? Well, I'm going next week and have it removed. Is there anybody in the house that's a Christian? You'd think there's not. We're going to the doctor to have the doctors take this thing off my nose. So what's wrong with the healer? What's wrong with Jesus, which said you could ask for anything and I'll do it for you? Did he, Miss Jackie? Is that what he said? You can ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything and I'll do it for you. I guess anything's not very big to most of us. Is that right? So I told her, I said, you know, I'd like to pray for you. My Jesus will take that cancer off your nose. Won't he?
Absolutely.
Mine and your Jesus heals, doesn't he, Frauds? Yeah. He does. So it's amazing. We prayed the prayer of faith for that woman. Just me and Cheryl and I guess Christy. Sharon. That's what I said to her. Well, Sharon. When you got three people, you got me there and my wife and Sharon there, you got those three people there to pray for you. If you want to see a miracle, just join in with them three. Them three people see God do wonderful things, do they not? But see, the beautiful part about this place, me and Sharon and Cheryl is not the only ones that get those kind of answers. We see God do wonderful things. And so that woman did. You know, we prayed for her and that went away. Oh, yeah. Of course, now see, here's the thing, Cheryl. Of course, you know, she was on top of it. She said, you know, you got an unforgiveness and bitterness toward her husband. Yeah. Yeah, and I said something to him, and, you know, and of course, he didn't like it, so he got him walked off. That's okay. You know, if you can't handle it, if you ain't a big enough man to handle it, if you want to write me a letter, if you ain't willing to sign it, then don't worry about it. Just go ahead and throw it in the trash, you know, because I ain't going to read it anyway. If you ain't a man enough or a woman enough to write me a letter and tell me who you are and why you think like you do, well, then forget it. I ain't going to talk to you. You know, I'm mad. I am really, really mad at what's going on. And I think that between now and the 20th of January, we may see the most incredible things happen. You know, I know God's in control. But if the church is not mad enough yet to start doing things for the kingdom of God. In other words, God wants a church mad as me and Scott was last night when we walked into that place of business. He wants you to talk to everybody you meet about Jesus. He don't care who's standing there, who's watching. He wants you mad enough to tell people, hey, if you die in this sin, you're going to hell. Do you not know that there's a hell out there that you can fall into? I mean, most people don't even talk about that. We don't want to talk about hell. That's scary. Hey, if you don't tell people the truth, their blood's going to be on your hands. And it ain't going to be no fun. But if the church doesn't get mad, that prophet, when I heard him say, the reason God put Obama in office the second term is to make the church mad enough to do something for him. Are you mad enough yet? Are you mad enough to do something for Jesus? Are you mad enough this week to go out? See, I have my hats off to all of you with among the multitudes that gave money to these children. That $150,000 just... Oh, okay, $158,000. Just think. Think, how many children was there? 11?
11,938.
Now, wait a minute. Did you hear what she said?
11.
How many?
11,000.
That wasn't 1,100 kids that got missed. 11,000 children and how many families? 228 families were blessed because of what this ministry did, and we done it because we know and love the Savior. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd hang up my hat and go find me something else to do. I'd go back to plumbing or something. I'm serious. If I didn't have Jesus behind me to do what I asked him to do, because I asked him to do some pretty big things. You know, we need to get there. We need to start asking the Savior. That we need to really get mad at the devil and get mad at ourselves because we've not done something for the kingdom. I mean, I stand in awe, just like my sister asked me the other day. She said, Thurman, I only wish you had learned these things lots younger. I said, why is that? She said, because you taught me. And if you'd learned them when you was younger, I would have known them when I was younger. But she said, the way it is, I didn't know them until you learned them. She said, the church I went to all my life never taught me the principles of the kingdom. So I didn't know. So one day after I began to teach my sister about the principles of the kingdom and how it works, she called me. She said, Thurman, you've been teaching me some things that are so far out that Jesus is a healer. Jesus says he'll do all these wonderful things. She said, it's really been a test for me to believe all these things since I've been in. She's 9 years older than me. And she says, I have been in church all of my life and I never heard these things till you started learning them. So at first I thought, surely this is not what the Bible says. But she said, when I started checking out everything you say, what you said and what the Bible said was exactly the same thing. So she said, today, Thurman, I have a major problem. I said, what's that? She said, my daughter, Vicki. My daughter just come in with breast cancer. She said, so I want you to pray for my daughter. I said, okay. I said, have her put her hand on her breast. I said, are there knots there? She said, oh, yeah. Have her put her hands on her breast. I said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit and forgive this girl's sins. And that's a big one. Those of the church don't believe you can forgive sin, but it says you can. So who are we going to believe? We're going to believe the Lord. So I remitted and forgave her sins. Then I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, you showed me that I could ask for anything, so I'm rebuking the enemy and commanding the enemy to leave my sister's daughter right this minute and go away and never come back. I said, Lord, thank you for healing her. In Jesus' name, it's done. And my niece, Vicki, she screamed out, says, Uncle Thurman, when you said that, the knots all left in my breast. That cinched it for my sister and her daughter. I mean, when you see it happen right before your very eyes, now all of a sudden Jesus becomes very, very, very real to you. Doesn't he, Franz? Jesus is real, isn't he? I wish me and you had got through this a whole lot earlier in life. But at least I'm glad we've learned it. Now then, the one thing, the reason we do what we do is because of John 13:34, I think. I want you to look at John 13:34. I want to see, I believe this is the only command the Master gave to us, the church. What does he say? A what? I give unto you that you do what? So when we do what we do, when we obey the Master, and this is the only commandment he gives us as the church, to go out and love one another. Mike, when we love one another, we get to see him do awesome things. Everything works through love, doesn't it? Amen. If you don't walk in love, nothing works. And that's what's wrong with us today. We're not walking in love. When you're not walking in love, the church... Love. You've got to love. Is that what the Master said? Is that what he said? He really said, I command you that you love one another? You know, some of you guys have not told your wife in the last month that you love her. Maybe longer than that. Do you think you're obeying what he said? You think you can tell your wife once a month that you love her and that's good enough? I don't think so. That don't fly in my house. This girl, every morning when she comes through my office, whenever it is, she wants to hear just this one little phrase. Honey, you're gorgeous. That don't make it if she's got her sweats on or what she's got on. She wants to hear, I'm gorgeous and I love you. Is that what they want to hear, Miss Jackie? Yes, sir. And you know who these girls want to hear that from? Their husbands. Not from somebody else. You know, don't go out and start telling all the girls, you know, hey, you're beautiful and you're gorgeous, because there's only one woman you can legally talk to like that. And it's the one you're married to. Is that right, Kim?
That's right.
Because some guys will tell other girls that they're beautiful, and they never tell their own wife. If God commanded you to love your wife, would I be out of sorts if I were to ask every one of you husbands and wives to stand up and face each other? Would I be out of sorts? Could I ask y'all to do that? If you're a husband and you're a wife and your spouse is with you, would y'all stand up and face each other right now? If you're a husband and wife, and you hold her any way you want to, she's your girl. I want you to hold her, and I want you to say, honey, I love you.
Honey, I love you.
You're the sweetest thing in my house. I love you. You're beautiful. Thank you, guys. Every man, I mean, take that as a lesson. Because of our King and his commandments to love, that's why we can do what we do. Now, because here's what he said. Husbands, yeah, what did he say?
Like
Christ loved the church. Yeah, and if you do not, if you don't. I mean, how many of you guys would love to see every prayer you pray get answered? Hey, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. I want every prayer I pray. Just like what I prayed for that girl with the cancer on her nose, I'd love to see God answer my prayer. Don't you, brother? And if I ain't walking in love with my spouse, guess what?
Shut down.
It don't work. No, it don't work. You got to be walking in love with your spouse. Not somebody else. I mean, like so many guys, it's amazing the number of men I've been around that would never say anything good. In fact, one day there was a guy come to my office when I was still in the business world. And we were going through some business. He was trying to sell me some stuff. And one of my secretaries, which was a very, very attractive young lady. And, of course, you know how girls dress when they come to work, as a rule. You know, they dress nice. Most of them do. And she's very attractive, very attractive. And so she walked by the window in my office. And as she did, he's looking straight at me, talking to me. And as soon as he caught her in his eyes, she goes by, he watches her, and he's talking all the time. And he watches her till she goes past the window. And then he comes back around, and he picks up right where he left off. And I'm paying attention to this. And then a little while, I start talking to him about spiritual things. After we got through with our business, I started talking to him about spiritual things. I don't know if he's a Christian, where he goes to church, if he's got any children. He said, yeah. And as we talked, he said, I have a problem with my 16-year-old son. I said, what's that? He said, all he thinks about is girls. I said, sir, I can tell you what the problem is. What do you think the problem was, Kim? I said, it's you. I said, do you realize when that little attractive secretary of mine walked by there, I said, you stopped talking to me and you watched her all the way by. I said, you got a problem with women too. I guarantee that's not your wife. That's somebody else's wife. And I said, you ain't supposed to be looking at her like you looked at her. I said, you're supposed to be talking to me and paying attention to business. But instead, you were looking at this girl. But Jesus, when Jesus commanded us to love one another, that's not the kind of love he planned for us to do, was it? That's not included, is it? No, it's absolutely not. Now then, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and read verses 4 through 7, and let's look at that and see what this love that he commands us to do really is all about. I see so many men and women, Christians in the church, that can't get along. Let me ask you a question before we go any further. If you're probably 15 or even 35, If I ask you, do you know you're going to die? Yeah, everybody say, oh yeah, I know, someday. But they ain't lining up to get on the bus for this afternoon. Because they think they're going to live forever. When you're 30 years old or 16 years old, I mean, life and death is not even an issue. You don't even think of it, did you, Franz?
You're bulletproof.
You are. You're guaranteed. You're bulletproof. You know, I mean, you know that you can do anything, and there ain't nothing impossible with you. And so, and you don't even, you have no clue. You have no clue that in one heartbeat, you can be gone. I mean, you can get killed in a car wreck. Your heart can just stop. You know, there don't have to be anything wrong with you. I mean, you know, it's amazing. We kind of try to live like we're going to live forever. Did my mic go off or something? Or?
It sounded funny. I don't know what's going on.
It's okay? But anyway, you need to be prepared for what could happen at any time. You can't wait to get prepared whenever death comes knocks on your door. I happened to be watching a Daystar movie the other day, or a little deal they had there on Daystar, and there was a cowboy, and he was probably, I don't know, 60, 65 years old. He was roping calves, and he had three or four ropings, and he rode up to the chute, and he got his rope out, and he put it up and did this, and that's the last thing he remembered. He just fell right off the horse, right on the ground, flat, bam. And he didn't remember a thing. He was dead for 30 minutes. Well, they shock treated him two or three times, got him to come back. He said, I don't remember anything. I remember putting that rope in my hand and doing a little flip like that to get ready to rope. And said, that's it. The lights went out. Boom, it's over. If they hadn't had the right equipment, real close, he would have been in eternity today. Isn't that something? So you don't know. So you know, when it comes to the point, we need to be ready, because you need to be walking in love. You don't never know when you may need to pray a prayer of faith, like Cheryl and I did with Sharon that day with that lady down there with that cancer on her nose. You never know when you walk in who's going to be sick or afflicted. You never know who needs prayer. You never know. Somebody calls you for Saturday afternoon, you know, while you're riding in the back of the car and saying, Thurman, I got an ulcer or a tumor or whatever in my mouth. I need a prayer. You don't never know, do you?
You sure don't.
But that happened to you, didn't it? I mean, you never know. When you walk in, some guy walks in, he's ready to kill himself, and you never know. You got to be walking in love whenever you got to have 20 things you got to pray for that boy right now, Mike, right? You got to be ready. You got to be walking in love 24/7. That's why the king said, I command my church to walk in love. Not if she's good to you. Love her. Anybody can love you when you're good, right? When you're a sweetheart, you know, everybody loves to pray for people or to be go with somebody that goes, oh, we're going to go out and I'm going to take you out to dinner and we're going to have a wonderful evening. We're going to talk and we're going to have fun. We're going to do all those things and then everything goes good. And everybody says nothing but good things about one another. It's easy, Cliff, to be around those kind of people, isn't it? It's easy. But everybody ain't like that. But you know, whenever they're not lovable, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what we're supposed to do, doesn't it? Let's see what he says. To stay ready, where we can do something, where we can get a prayer answered. I tell you what, why don't you put that up there for me in the NLT? And charity is all, that was confusing to me all the time when I was reading that. So I'll just put it in the NLT. And today I want to see this and see what it says in the NLT, verse 4. Okay, love. Now, we all know what love is, don't we? Well, we think we do, anyway. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Next verse. Love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And love keeps no records of being wronged. Wow. Next verse. Love does not rejoice about injustice. But rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love does all those things. Verse 7. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures us through every circumstance. Next verse. I only said 7, but we need one more. Prophecy and speaking in tongues. But love, that last line there, but love will do what? I want you to turn somebody, I don't care who, I want somebody to turn back to verse 4, and anybody, whoever wants to, that's got a Bible, I want somebody to read verse 4 to me. Yourself out loud. And before you do that, let me get a mic. So I want you to get your Bible. Who are you on? Is it on? Just 1 second. Oh, hey, let me get somebody else to do it. Just turn it on. Is it on?
Check.
Okay, now we're on. Okay. Let me come back here. Okay, amplified's okay.
Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily.
Now let me ask you to make Jesus a promise. Will you do this, maybe? Will you make a commitment to read that at least one time a day for the next week?
Yes.
You will do that?
I will.
Okay. So you one time, at least one time a day. And if you want to read it 2 or 3, I don't have a problem with it. But then next week when you come back to church, we'll see if the Lord does anything special in your life because you've read that verse. Okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Now, who wants to read another verse? Who wants to read? Somebody. You read one?
I will.
Okay. Read the next one then.
5?
Yeah, verse 5.
I'm in the new...
Okay, whatever translation you're reading it in, that's okay with me.
Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own.
Now, what are we talking about here?
Love.
Okay, love, okay.
Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered.
Okay, wow. That's pretty good stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. You have to walk.
Will you make a commitment?
I will.
To read that verse at least one time a day, every day for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And see what God will do with you through
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
The reason I'm asking people to do that, you can't take God's word, and do something with it and it not change your life.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
That's right.
So who wants to read the next verse now? Okay, let me hand this lady the microphone. Let me go around there. Do what?
The Holman Bible.
Okay, that's okay.
Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth.
Okay. That the whole verse?
Yes, sir.
Okay, read it one more time. Okay.
Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth.
Okay, everybody hear that? Will you make a commitment to read that one time a day for the next week? Okay,
yes, I will.
Good, 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 and then we'll see how that works out. Okay, who wants to read the next verse? Right here?
Right, you're right there.
Oh. Okay, this young lady right here, first of all, she's going to, let me hand it to her.
Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things.
Now, what is it that does all that?
Love does.
Love does all that. Will you commit to read that at one time a day after the next week? Okay, now. Do what, sir?
I said I command that shaker to stop in the name of Jesus.
I still didn't hear what you said.
I said I command that shaking hand to stop.
Okay, good. I'm in agreement with that. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Yes, absolutely. Okay, who else wants to read? Is there another one? We got one over here.
The one over in front of you. The man in the red shirt right there.
Right here. Okay, Cliff. Okay.
Verse 8. This is a new King James Version. Goodness, my eyes are giving me. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever.
Wow. What did it say will happen to love?
It'll last forever.
In other words, everything in the kingdom can go away, but love ain't never going to go away, is it, Cliff?
Right, never going to go away.
Will you read that every day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what do you think that's going to do if you read those scriptures one time a day for every day for the next 7 days? What do you think is going to happen?
Pointing to this guy. He's wanting to do it.
You want to read one?
Yep.
All right. Which one are you reading?
Verse 9.
Verse 9, okay.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Okay.
That's all?
Is that all? Is that good enough?
Yeah, I can keep going.
There's not anything else in there about love?
Not in this verse 9. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
But the greatest is what?
Love.
Out of all those things, out of everything he read there, there's only one that's great. What is it, brother?
Love.
Love. You know, something I would love to see all of you. All of you, when you meet people, oh, here, honey, would you turn that off for me? Oh. When you meet people, I'd like to see you shake hands with people and put the other hand on top of that hand and say, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. When you meet people, let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. Now, if you say, may God bless you, they don't know what God you're talking about. We've had a few people in office lately that talks about may God bless you, but they're talking about the wrong God. I want you to know, when we talk to you, we're going to be talking to you about Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords and God of gods. Is he the only true God? There is no other way. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference who we offend. And that's okay. Jesus offended them. If you're not offending somebody with Jesus' name, you ain't doing nothing for Jesus. And why are you doing these things? Why in the first place are you talking to people about Jesus? I mean, do you really believe there's a heaven and hell? No, you don't. No, you don't really believe it. Mm-mm. You know, I used to say that as a deacon. I believe, yes, absolutely. I know there's a heaven and hell. How many people have you led to Jesus this month? Well, I haven't led anybody to Jesus. How many have you told about Jesus? Well, I've been too busy. No, you don't believe there's a hell. You absolutely don't believe it. You're just like me. If you're not talking to people about Jesus, somebody said, well, you know, I can't do this. Like one of the doctors that I know real well. I told him, I said, you need to start praying for your patients. So he started. He started praying for his patients because I told him, I said, if you love them, you'll pray for them. So he started praying for them, and he started seeing awesome things happen. So he called me one day and said, Thurman, this is absolutely amazing. He said, some of the people I pray for get healed before I even give them any medicine. It's amazing what God's doing. He said, this is wonderful. He said, I love it. And then he come to church out here every once in a while. He lives quite a ways off. So he come up and he told me how great things are getting and how he's praying for people and seeing more and more mighty miracles and loving it and everything. And then one day he called and said, Thurman, I hate you. I said, now, wait a minute, brother. What did I do to you since the last time I talked to you? Because last time you loved me. He said, you just got me fired. I said, what do you mean I got you fired? He said, well, I got to having so much results over people that I prayed for that he said one of the ladies that come in and I didn't even ask her. I just got used to praying for people, so I just prayed, and she filed suit against me for praying for her, and she didn't want me to pray. I said, well, you know what the scripture says about that? He says, what? It says, consider everything pure joy. Thurman, you're crazy. I got fired. I lost my job. I got to feed my family. I said, consider pure joy. Praise God. I said, how's God going to give you a better job for obeying him unless he fires you from that one? He said, Thurman, I never heard of such a thing. I said, let me ask y'all, did the Lord say pray about everything with thanksgiving? Did he say give him praise for everything? So he said, this don't make no sense at all. I said, you know, there's a whole lot of things in the kingdom that don't make no sense. Is that true? I mean, if you take things at face value, yeah, it don't make no sense. You get fired and you say, praise the Lord. That's what I did when they fired me. You know, when they handed me my walking papers, five things on the reason they fired me because of my walk with God. I looked at that and I'd read one of them. I said, praise God. Look at us, praise God. Wow, praise God. This woman says, sir, do you not understand that this is your termination papers? I said, yes, ma'am, I got that. But I said, I noticed every reason I was fired was not because of my work, but because of my walk with God. I said, that just really sets me off, ma'am. I'm so tickled. She said, Mr. Scrivener, you're over 50 years old. You'll never find another job as good as this one that pays this kind of money for what you do. I said, ma'am, I don't work for y'all in the first place. I never have worked for y'all. I work for Jesus. I said, Jesus has got a plan for me. I have no idea what it is. But let me tell you what, it didn't take long for me to find out. He fixing to put me in a church. Now, I never had a church before, but he put me in a church. Then I never had no idea he's going to send me. And then later with Cheryl, when he brought her into my life, was going to send me and her all over the world to pray and preach the gospel of the kingdom and see him heal and set free people by the thousands. And still to this day, we get phone calls and emails night and day about needing to pray for people, and he's still healing them. He's still doing great things. Isn't that amazing how you can pray over an email? Never see the person. Pray over an email, and they get healed. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. She woke me up this morning at 6 o'clock. I come back. I think I got up and went to the bathroom or something, and I come back, and she said, you're awake. I said, well, she said, there's a few prayer requests that just come in and said, we need to pray for these people. So I said, okay. So we prayed for those people. And I thought, now I wonder how many people is out there that's waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning is there praying with their spouse about getting somebody set free and healed. I'm mad. I'm mad enough to do it, ain't you? Now then, if you can be mad and walk in love at the same time. That's the secret, right? You got to walk in the God kind of love. Love. What's the first part of that, Scott? Love is what?
Patient.
Love is, one of them is love is patient.
Love is kind.
Love is what?
Kind.
Love is not jealous. It's what? Is not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. Long suffering. And does not, oh, that one. You mean I got to give in again to go do this or do that? My wife wants me to go out to eat with her again? Is loving Jesus and living, when you love, when you really love, just think. Now, you know, I'm not speaking a curse over everybody, nobody. But, you know, as we talked about earlier, I think Jerry and I was talking about this, or me and somebody. Maybe it wasn't Jerry, but somebody was. I think it was him. That we were talking about, you know, there is some people that while we're standing here talking a while ago before church started, somebody just died. Do you know that how many was it that Howard Pittman said died every 15 minutes? 2,000, wasn't it? 2,000 people die every 15 minutes in the world. 2,000. Wasn't that what he said?
Yeah.
You heard him speak, didn't you?
Only 50 go to heaven.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the secret. Only 50 people out of those 2,000 that died went to heaven. 2.5%.
And then that man came and spoke with us, and the Lord tells him that it was only 1.5%.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that nurse is a man from Midland, Odessa, that came here to a healing school, and he was a pastor. And he said the Lord had spoken to him and told him that at the day he was here, out of the 2,000 approximately that die every 15 minutes, right now there's only 1.5% of them going to heaven. Now whose fault is that? It's ours. It's the church's fault. Because the Lord put the hands of the lost people into mine and your hands. He puts their soul. So if we don't tell them about Jesus, if we don't learn how to pray and get a lost person saved, if we don't do that, your own relatives, maybe your own children, maybe your own spouse may die and go to hell. But you know, I don't know if you didn't see the war room. Did you see the war room? Was it good?
Yes.
What was the secret in there? Walking in love and praying.
Yes.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Walking in love and praying. Serving notice to the devil. I got so tickled when that girl's husband was in that restaurant with that other woman and he was thinking wrong things. You could tell. Any man could read into this picture what he's thinking. He's thinking she's how beautiful she is and how he would love to go to bed with her and all that stuff. But his wife is at home and says, "Devil, there's new management here and it's me. And you ain't going to have my husband. You ain't going to drag him off. Now I command you in the name of Jesus to get out. Now, Father, do something great in the life of my husband. Do something." And the Lord made that boy sick. All of a sudden, man, his stomach, he started to, "Oh my goodness, I was, what's wrong with me? Oh, I got to go to the bathroom now," and he's sick. What happens when a woman prays for her husband? God shows up. Now, see, we need some women that are mad. And then, you know, if you do that enough times, and you know, if you tell your husband when he got home, said, "You know, I don't know what you were doing tonight, but you know, about 9 o'clock tonight, I just felt in my spirit something wasn't going just right. So I prayed and asked the Lord to really do something to you, to put you where you need to be." And he's thinking, "So you're the reason that this happened." But if you're walking in love, if you're walking in love, and you're remembering all these things it said, you can do those kind of things. Now, if you get all upset with your husband and start fussing and cussing him out, it won't work. That won't work at all. God don't honor that prayer. "Lord, just kill him." We had one woman here that she asked the Lord, that said, Lord, kill him. Kill him in an accident so I can get double indemnity so I can pay off the house. That's how much she loved her husband. But all of her kids were sick, too. Every one of them. She had three kids sick, and she had lost three in
miscarriage.
Yeah, three of them had died in the miscarriage. I told her, I said, honey, the reason that you're having a problem is because of your disobedience to your husband, and you got to walk in love with your husband. She thought I was absolutely crazy, but the Lord spoke to her and told her I wasn't crazy, that I knew what I was talking about. So she came back. You know, you may think that Thurman Scrivener has lost his ever-loving mind with some of the things he does. But if you go out saying, God, Thurman has lost his mind. He says that my children are sick because of my sins. I know he's crazy. And you hear this voice say, my dear, my son knows exactly what he's talking about. I have taught him well. He learned that from me. You need to get right. You need to go back down there and talk to him and get right with your husband. Lord, I'll never do that. It'll be over his dead body. And the Lord says, no, it will be over your children's dead bodies. Do you know that got that mother's attention? Isn't that, yeah, I mean, serving God is awesome, Franz. I mean, when you got God behind you, can you go wrong?
No.
But to get him to be behind you and do all those things, what do you and I have to do?
Love.
We got to walk in the love, the God kind of love. Is that right?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's worth it. It is worth it. Walk in love. And your mate, for all of you that were here and stood up and helped your mate, praise the Lord. And for those of you men that have not done that lately, shame on you. You know, you need to do it because of God. I didn't write the book, did I, guys?
No.
Who wrote that book?
The Lord.
Did the Lord tell you to love your wife?
Yes.
Like Christ loved the church? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Do you think he meant that?
He meant it.
So if you want to see him do good things and answer your prayers, you better do what he said, right? Because if he don't answer your prayer, what's going to happen? Absolutely right. Nothing. Wow. Y'all do know that next Sunday we will, it's Christmas Day. We will be here. We're going to worship the King right here on Sunday again, next Sunday afternoon, just like we are right now. If you want to do something else, that's okay, but we'll be here. Just so everybody knows, everybody's listening on tape or CD or whatever, however you're hearing this, Christmas Day, which is next Sunday, we will be here. We'll be here to worship and praise the King. It's normal time, you know, 2 to 4. We'll praise the King and we'll just have fun together. I don't know, and we may ask y'all to tell us about what has happened with your scripture that you've been quoting this week. How does God move on your heart? And I might throw something in that might really ask you to step out in great faith, is if you would read the entire chapter of number 13, 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter, not just 4 through 8, but, you know, in my office when I was in Dallas, when I was working there, they said you can't put any scriptures on your window or your door, because I put a deal out there and I put 1 Corinthians 4 through 8 out there in the King James Bible with verses and everything, you know. So they come and said, Mr. Scrivener, you can't do that here, so you just can't put that on there. We just can't allow that. I said, okay, no problem. So I put it on there without verses like it's written in the NLT. Love is kind. And all the things it says to do, love is not rude. I put all that stuff. I just put it on a great, made it in great big tall letters, and I stuck it on my window, my office, in my window. And some of the people come by, and they'd stop, and they'd read that on the way to the cafeteria. They'd go, man. And they'd say, how come you put this on here? I said, because when I pray, I like to see God answer my prayer. And I said, that's what you got to do. Wow, that sounds like the Bible. I said, yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? There's more than one way to skin a cat. You can start on the front end or the back end. Don't make no difference. You can skin that little cat, I guarantee. But anyway, whenever I started praying for people, in fact, the other day I run into a man. It was in your shop, Lon Plummer. And Lon used to work down at Sky Chef where I worked. In fact, one day when he first met Mike, they got to talking. He said he was looking for a church, and Mike said, well, I go to Living Savior Church. He said, who's the pastor? He said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, Thurman Scrivener, let me tell you about Thurman Scrivener. And for the next hour or two or whatever it was, him and Mike sat there and talked about me and what this man saw at Skychef when I was a manager down there. He was just blown away. Well, let me tell you how that works. You get to see all them people healed and all those answers to prayer when you learn to walk in that God kind of love. Isn't that something? Mike said, it's almost like listening to me tell the stories at church. He said, Lon told them exactly the same way. Well, when you see the things happening, I wanted to know when I saw men that could get their prayers answered, I wanted to know how you do this, because obviously I didn't know how, because I didn't see those kind of miracles and things. I learned there's a whole lot of things about the kingdom. First of all, you need to get rid of sin. Second, you need to call God in remembrance of his covenant, his promises. And then you need to walk in love. And if you walk in love, I command you to love one another. Then come and ask me for what?
Anything.
And I'll do it for you.
Right.
And he does that, doesn't he?
He does it every day.
Just like I saw Scott last night talking to that young man, those two young men. I want to surround myself with men that love to talk about Jesus. Now, if men is not willing to talk about Jesus, then I don't want you as my buddy. I may minister to you, but I don't want you as my buddy. I don't want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with men that know their God, because that's where the power is at. That's where you get to see him do awesome things with men that walk in love, that know who their God is. Because Scripture says to them that know their God, they shall do exploits. They shall do great and mighty things. And I love to see God do that. Wow. God's good, isn't he, Scott? Wow, we got to see him lead that boy to Jesus last night right there in that parts house. And what I thought the whole time we were talking with him, the phone did not ring one single time, and not a single customer came in that door while we were there. God had his undivided attention. Isn't that wonderful? Walk in love. This, my children, is the only commandment I'm going to leave you this week, that you love one another. Love one another. And if you do that, then I'll answer your prayer. We should, every man in this place should be able to come back next week and say, every prayer I prayed. And you should pray lots, because he told you to pray about everything, right? If he chose you to pray about everything, don't do anything without prayer. Nothing. Do everything in prayer with thanksgiving. And that's amazing. And that doctor, that was so funny. When that doctor, a few days later, I told him, I said, when you start praising the Lord and thanking him for getting you fired, he said, Thurman, this don't make no sense. I said, the ways of God is not the ways of us. His ways are better than ours. So I said, just start praising him and thank him for firing you. Only a day or two or three later, he called back and said, Thurman, I love you. Uh-oh. You love me one day and you hate me the next day. So what's the deal? He said, I got a job that paid twice what my other job paid. So I told him, well, did the Lord say praise him in everything? Why do we have such a trouble with that? Why? I don't know. It's amazing. But anyway, next Sunday we're going to have church right here again. We're going to pray. And now then, before we leave here, my prayer warriors should stand up. We're going to pray for those of you that need prayer. Everybody that you see standing up is a prayer warrior. And so anyway, they'll all be here somewhere. Sharon's back there in her red. You can't miss her today. She's got her red shirt on. Mike and Gracie's over here, and Nate's over there, and Scott and Kim's right here, and me and Cheryl right here, and Dave will be somewhere back here. So, Father, I thank you and praise you, and Lord, you told us to just praise you. So, Lord, I'd like to just praise you. Lord, I would like for everybody in this place to stand up and praise you for a minute. If you would, just stand up and let's praise the Lord. Tell him how much you love him. It's his birthday. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you appreciate what he did in sending his only son to this earth to die for you and me so we could go to heaven when we die. Lord, we're so grateful. You're such a mighty God. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. And we love you, Lord, and we praise you and thank you. And Lord, help us this week by the power of the Holy Spirit that we literally may learn how to really walk in the God kind of love. We want to walk in the God kind of love so we can see all of our prayers answered. And we thank you, Father. And Lord, teach us as men and women how to love our spouse. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you girls, if you got a kind of a dense husband, and like some of these guys, it wouldn't hurt anything. He's your husband, and his body belongs to you. It wouldn't hurt if he's not ever doing anything or putting any hands on you or anything. When you walk by him, you grab him and hug him and tell him how much you love him. That wouldn't hurt anything, would it? It wouldn't hurt to love tell your husband you love him. Is that right? Okay, well, praise the Lord. Y'all are dismissed, and have a great week this week, and we'll see you again next Sunday, okay? Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, son. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord.